And we are going to be talking about God promises future, a future to us, but his promised future actually requires our present day, not just trust, but our present day preparation. God is promising our church a facility. You say, Pastor, how do you see that? You see the young people that are coming to the church. You see the classrooms that cannot contain these young people. We need larger space to facilitate them. Now, we'll plan accordingly. And again, I thank God that we're not in debt. Amen. We own the property here as a church. So God's been good to us. Amen. We're in a situation where it's a plus, right? But here's the thing. If we expect God to provide these facilities for us, what we need to do is to have a present day preparation. What do you mean? This is why we're doing these special offerings. This is why we are, this is why, Haley, are you going to stay in here? I was going to say you can help Miss Valerie since Brother Colin's not here. Just help. Those teenagers need Jesus. Amen. Miss Valerie, junior church. Oh, they're not teenagers. Yeah, she's definitely going to need help. Amen. They're kids. Pray for Brother Colin. He's not feeling well. But my point that I'm trying to make is, as a church, we need to get to this place, present day, where we're preparing, right? We're preparing. Yesterday, we were out in the community open ceremony, and I love seeing our church people working the booths, mingling with the community, talking to the leaders of our community. Ms. Loring, you can correct me if I'm wrong. Was the mayor there? Yeah, that's how nervous I was. I didn't even pay attention. Amen. I guess I shook his hand. He shook my hand, but I'm sorry. I apologize. I need to do better. Amen. I'm not a political figure, but I didn't know. Amen. But anyways, we were able to be there and see that. Now you say, Pastor, why do you do that? That's an outreach opportunity. We're trying to prepare to reach our community of White House. Amen. As a church family, we are the body of Christ. What does that mean? We are representation. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ, of saying to this community, look, he saved my soul. Look what he's done in my life. Look at our family. Not necessarily just look at us, but understanding this truth. There are people out there that are looking for what you have. Amen. If you don't believe that, I don't know how to help you with that. What you have is very important. It's that faith in God, in your God. It's that trust in Jesus Christ that when you die one day, guess what? He will save you. But it's more than that. Not only are you a citizen of heaven, but how his principles and his word and the teachings of his word have helped your life. Now, we're not problem-free. We're not promoting that. But we are promoting this, and this is what people are looking for, the truth. There are people out there in the community looking for the truth. There are people out there in the community that might not want to come to church. But you know what they'll come for? They'll come because their wife is telling them to come to church. Let's be honest, amen? They'll come to church because their kids are telling them to come to church. And in that process, many of them will get to find the truth. Why is that important, Pastor? Because we live in a society, we live in a day and age where the truth doesn't matter anymore. We live in a society, we live in a day and age where we think you can't raise good children in this society. Can I tell you something? That's not the truth. That's not the truth. Amen? We're not promising you to raise perfect kids. Amen? Many of us understand that. We're the parents. Amen? I know my kids are not perfect. Amen? But here's the thing. We're going to teach them valuable moral lessons from the truth. Amen? Hey, guess what? The Bible says you shouldn't kill somebody. Is that not good truth? Yes or no? Hey, a step further, not only should you not kill anybody, but the Bible in the New Testament is talking about if you're angry with somebody, God judges that as if it's murder. Why would that be important? Can I ask you that? Why would that be important to a young person to not get angry when things don't go their way? Because it could lead not only to murder, but death to their potential, death to their marriage. Imagine a husband that just gets angry at his wife because he's not patient. You see where this is going? Jesus is teaching us that it's not just about external and outward appearance. Jesus is actually teaching us the things that it takes to repair the broken hearts of people. And this is what the White House community needs. Amen. This is what they're looking for. Amen. And they might not even know that they're looking for it. But my friends, can I tell you something? It's going to take present day preparation on our part to show the community, look, in this place, this is a place where you get to know Christ. Amen? You get to know Christ. And the Bible says in John 14, 7, the last time I checked, I am the way, I am the, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That was Jesus. Follow me? That's what we're trying to introduce them to. Our Savior, the Lord of our life. With that said, the title of the message is Built Before It's Seen. Jeremiah 29, 1. I'd like for us to understand this. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, turn there, please. I want you to understand that everyone loves the idea of the future that God's promising us. But here's the truth. We often ignore the preparation of that future. God promises are certain, but can I tell you this? They are not accidental. You must do your part. If you expect God to keep his promise, you and I need to prepare for that promise to be kept. It doesn't work in the simple way that God's going to reward you for living like the world or living like the devil, or wives not loving your husbands, husbands not loving your wives. Amen? Children not obeying your parents, parents not raising your children. God's not going to keep his promise on the future if you can't just prepare. Understand that? He's not going to reward and gift that. He keeps his promises. But are you worthy of his promises is my question. Victory Baptist Church, are we worthy of the promise that God is showing us right now? An influx of people. Are we worthy of that promise for God to provide a way for us to build? Are we? You follow me? Are we leading people to Christ? Are we discipling people that are in our church? And I know we could do a better way of organizing and creating these systems and processes when you walk in through, and believe me, we're working on it. But you know, it takes time. But it also takes participation on your part. Amen? Here's the first point I'd like to share with you. Jeremiah 29:11, first point. There's no points? Praise the Lord, amen. Here's the first point. God's promise is sure, but it requires your trust. God's promises, my friend, in your life are sure. They are certain, but it's going to require for you to trust, to have faith. You know that same trust that you have while you're sitting on that seat? It didn't take much for you to sit down, did it? You're trusting that chair to hold you up. Am I right? Amen. That's the same amount of trust it requires for you. That's it. That's the same amount. Did it take much for you to sit down on that chair? Yes or no? Did you have to think about it, sir? Did you have to think about it, ma'am? Or you just sat down? You just sat down. You didn't think about it was made in China. You didn't think about it was child labor that made these chairs. Amen. You didn't think about if it's Italian or not. Amen. Custom made. What did you think about? Come on, let's be honest. What did we think about? You just trusted. That's faith. That is faith. Our problem, we think too much. But God, how am I going to? But God, what if you become your own worst nightmare? Listen, God promises, they're sure. The promise that he's giving you for your future, the promise he's made for your calling, the promise that he's made for your family, they're sure. But it's going to require for you and I to trust him. That's all it takes. God, I don't know how to be a husband. I've never seen that in my life, but I'm trusting you. Now, you can ask my wife, Am I a perfect husband? She'll be honest with you. Amen. I'll be a little bit deceitful. Amen. But she'll be honest with you. Amen. She'll say, oh, no, he's not perfect. Here's the truth. It doesn't matter if I'm perfect or not. I'm trusting in who? I'm God. It doesn't matter. We have it twisted. We have it like, no, you have to be perfect in order for this to work. No, we don't. Jesus died for us in that while we were yet what? Sinners. Christ died for us. He thought you and I were worthy to die for. Guess what? For me, I think you and I are worthy to trust him. He died for us. He believed in us. He thought we were worthy. Guess what we should do? Trust in him. He did the work. Follow me? We don't have to wait till we're perfect. We just have to trust him that what he's doing is a perfect work in us. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of what? Not of? To give you an expected what? Here is a promise that God is giving the children of Israel. Do you know during the time of prophet Jeremiah, the children of Israel were in captivity to the Babylonian Empire? Do you know that? Do you know what country that is in modern day history now? It's the country of what? Iraq. Iran is Persia. Iraq. And Babylon is the capital city there at that time of Iraq. And the children of Israel, during Jeremiah's time, remember, he was left with the what? The remnant, the leftovers. The poor people. The broken walls, the places on fire. Ezekiel, that prophet, he went with the working class, and they were actually next to the river of Kabar. That was the irrigation system right next to the Babylonian capital city. Daniel went with the first wave or the first deportation of the children of Israel. He went with the nobles, with the political figures, with the people of money and class, prestige. That is where Daniel went. That prophet Daniel. All these are prophets, but understand where they're living at. And God is telling the people of Israel, hey, I understand you're in captivity. I understand right now your life might seem uncomfortable. I understand right now what you're experiencing in life, listen here, is uncomfortable and you have nothing. I understand that. I understand that right now, everything's been taken away from you. I understand that right now, not only is everything taken away from you, but check this out. You have absolutely nothing to fall back on. And I'm promising you, in your situation, I'm promising you, in where you're living at right now, even though it doesn't seem like you have anything to look forward to, he's saying this, I promise you, and this is a promise that I'm giving to you while you're in this season. So God is telling them, I have a plan for you. Now, I don't know about you, man, but if you just went through bankruptcy, or you just went through divorce, or you just lost your children in a tragic accident, or if you lost someone, or if you just are out without a job, are you going to honestly feel... I was wondering why the light was. Are you going to feel that God has a plan for your life? Are you going to feel that way if you went bankrupt? Are you going to feel that way if you lost your job? Yes or no? Guess what it's going to require? Trust. Oh, yeah, I don't know about all that. No, that's what it takes. It takes your part. It takes my part. Amen? The same way it took my part to sit my hips down on that seat, on that chair, is the same amount of faith it took for me to get out the ghetto, to get out the gutter, Fifth Ward, to get out and break that cycle, that curse, that cyclical cycle of no parent, of a single parent home, a dysfunctional home, that same faith. Here you go. This is how much it took. I'm trusting you, God. You know what you're doing. Guess what my part was? Preparation. Let me get in the Word of God. Preparation. Let me obey what His Word says. Preparation. Let me not do those things that He's telling me not to do. And guess what's the future that I have now? His promise that He kept. His plan for my life. Do you understand? This is how it works. Oh, by the way, let me give you a hint. Hint, hint. It doesn't happen overnight. I'm 46 years old. I'm a father. I'm looking forward to being a grandparent. Amen. Not yet. Not yet. Amen. They need to find a spouse first. The right ideal spouse. But I'm looking forward to being a parent and spoiling the kids. So that way the kids, once they take them back home, they have to retrain them. I'm going to untrain them. But I'm going to spoil these kids, right? The grandkids, whenever that happens. And it's God's time. My point that I'm trying to make is, though, I'm trusting God that my children will marry the ideal person. But do you know what preparation it took? We've been married 20 years. It's going to be 21 years in August 20th of this year. For 20 years, when I got married with Rebecca, we made this decision that we would pray for our children's spouses. By the way, we didn't have 6 children the first time, okay? Just so you know. Since Haley, we've been praying for her spouse. So whenever there's boys that are interested, do I want to say, yes, finally? Yeah, I probably do. Amen. I don't want to say good riddance. Amen. She's a blessing in my home. But here's the truth. I don't want to just marry her off to anyone else. You know why? We've been preparing for 20 years. Praying that the spouse she marries is saved. Praying that he loves God more than he loves her. That's key. Because he still needs to obey God. Pastor, but if he loves God more than her, yeah, they won't end up in a divorce. Because God doesn't agree on divorce. Just saying. I'm just saying. I understand if your situations are different or whatever. I'm just telling you what it is. Now, you might say, well, nobody ever told me that. Okay, what are you doing now to prepare? I'm just trying to give you an example, right? I'm using what happened in my life because that's all I can really talk about in my experience. My girl is not married yet. We're not done raising these kids. After she gets married, guess what? I'm still not going to be done raising these kids. She's going to have a husband, and then it's not going to go well, and she's going to cry, and she's going to come tell me. And as long as he doesn't touch her, right, Brother Mundo? Amen? Amen? As long as he doesn't touch her, But if she married the ideal man, not perfect, but someone who loves the Lord more, he understands he's going to be like Christ-like love. But that takes preparation. What are we doing now? This is what we do now. When I'm preparing, I give my child anything they want. Are you serious? Why? Why would we do that? Why would we do that? Okay, I'm not actually preaching to anybody here, amen, because I don't know everybody's situation here. I'm just, I'm being vague here, okay? I really don't know, okay? But here's the truth. Why would we do that? But it's temporary, right? They don't realize this. It's a temporary band-aid to the problem. Because this is what I'm going to be honest with you. You know what's my first reaction? Oh, just shut the kid up, amen? But because I love them, I'm going to give them whatever they want, amen? Yeah. You're at Walmart, kicking everything. Kung Fu fighter. Some parents go to the extreme of, oh, I'm going to beat this kid right here. Well, that's the other extreme. No, you work at it. Let them embarrass you. Pull their hair. All right, go ahead. And then you tell them, listen, you're not always going to get what you want in life. You're not going to get what you want in life because that's real life. That is real life. We don't all grow up in the hood. We don't. We're in East Texas. The most hood we have here is North Tyler. No offense. Amen. North Tyler. That's not hood. I mean, we found a couple of dead bodies, but that's not hood. That's not hood. Okay. Here's the thing I'm trying to tell you. When we raise these kids, we need to do it in the admonition, the nourishment and the admonition of the Lord. We need to change the way we think about this. Well, guess what? How many of us know how to do that? I don't know how to do it, but I'm doing it. How? I'm trusting who? God. I don't know how to do it. What do you mean, Pastor? I never experienced that in my life. My mom loved me so much, and she did a great job loving me. I didn't know I was broken poor. I didn't know that until I went to school, and then people make fun of my Pro Wings or XJ900s, whatever I had, amen. The Velcro, you know? Yeah. And when my pants tore, mom would put the patch, I don't know what it was, on my pants, and that's how I would take pictures, and I was missing a tooth or three, and that's what I grew up, but I love my mama. My mama loved me so much that I didn't know we were broken poor. I just didn't know that until the kids, you know, meanies, then went over there and they told me. But it's okay, it didn't break me. My point that I'm trying to make is I didn't know that there's a certain way to raise your children because I never had that father to lead me when I said, hey, Dad, there's a girl that keeps throwing stuff at me. I punch her in the face. I was 5 years old, okay? Okay. But I didn't have, thank you, Spencer. Someone understands me. Yeah? I didn't have a dad to tell me, you don't do that, buddy. You know, you don't punch her in the face, amen? That's why I got in trouble. And back then, the way you got in trouble, it was in detention. It was, they would get that ruler, you put your hands out, and wham! And some teachers, they were so nice, they loved me so much, they didn't hit the flat part with the ruler. They hit me with the edge. But anyways, amen, I'm not bitter. I didn't have a dad to go to and say, hey, I did this and this, and the dad could have said, buddy, the only reason she throws the paper at you is because she likes you. Man, that would have changed my life. I would have been like, oh, okay, now I understand, okay? I wouldn't have punched her. I'm thinking she wants to fight. You don't understand where I grew up. Like, you don't understand where I grew up. That's what we do. We survive. We understand we don't stop because you die or get hurt or end up in the hospital. That is it. I know it sounds crazy, but that's where we grew up. So we fight to survive. If my dad would have said, hey, this is not how you deal with conflict. When there is conflict in your life, you talk about it, you work it out, you act civilized. I'm 5 years old. It's not working in my mind. Follow me? So, Pastor, can you go off your experience? No. I don't want Ezra to go beat up every girl that hits him. Amen? I definitely don't want Elena to beat up every boy that, you know, that says something or calls her names. She's a real good hitter with that bat, man. She would hurt somebody, I'm telling you. So what do I have to do? I have to trust in the Lord that what his word is saying, his thoughts are higher than my thoughts. So when the Bible tells me, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. When the Bible tells me these things, guess what I should do? Trust him. Trust him. See, trust him when the seasons are uncertain. Trust him and stay faithful, even though I don't see the results and they're not visible. Trust him. Keep showing up even when I feel that progress is slow. Do you really think, folks, that when we started this church, and the midweek service, we started in our home, just so you know. For the midweek service on Thursdays, we started at our home. We didn't have it here. We didn't open the doors because we couldn't afford to pay the electricity, man. So praise the Lord for that. We can now. But back then, we started in our home, and we would have people meet there in our home. We would have Bible study. And I will tell you this. It would go great, but once we moved to the church, guess what it felt like sometimes, Ms. Shante? Because everybody's working, everybody's tired. And some people were only coming Sunday. It's okay. It was just my family sometimes. Now, let me ask you something, okay? As a pastor, how do you think that made me feel? Come on now. Inadequate. Oh, thank you, Ms. Shante. It speaks highly of me, amen. Inadequate. What else? No, it's okay. Huh? Discouraged. Thank you. Anyone else? Yeah, low self-esteem shuts my confidence down the drain. Come on, keep going. This makes me feel great. Amen. I didn't want to continue. I don't know how many times I've already given up. I don't know how many times I've given up. You say, Pastor, but you're here. I know. It didn't work. I don't know how to give up. It's what I'm trying to tell you. Here's the truth. When my family was here and we moved the midweek service on Thursdays to to the service. My wife is like, babe, what are we going to do? I'm like, well, we're going to have service. Babe, there's nobody here. You're here. Play the piano and the kids get the hymn books and we'll just, I'll preach to y'all. And of course, my wife's so spiritual. You know, so spiritual, very encouraging. She was just looking at me. But she ended up knowing that consistency and trusting God eventually would build what we have now. I didn't build anything. I was just naive enough to believe and trust in God that even though progress was slow, it would eventually happen. God brings the what? Increase. He's the one that builds the church. Right? And so that's how life is. Here's the second point. Here's the second point I want to share with you. God's plan is activated through commitment. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3 says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Here, Solomon's teaching that when you and I surrender our plans, when we surrender our will, our perception, our thoughts, our thinking, our intuition, when we surrender it to God's plans for our life, guess what he does with our thinking? He aligns it to the path we need to take. I don't know how many of you have heard about the, what is it called, the boot theory. And it's to show, so you understand, financial people. It's to show people who are struggling financially this theory of the boot theory. And it's teaching you that you have a scarcity mindset and that's what's keeping you from making money. I learned that, you know, through the business dealings, and it helped me understand it a little bit. But what they say is many people that are in poverty are not willing to spend $100 for a good boot that will last them 10 years. But what they will spend on is a cheap boot that costs them maybe $20 that only will last them 1 year. Now, I'm not trying to, I don't know your situation, okay? I don't know. I'm just trying to tell you the theory, the boot theory. And they say people with that scarcity mindset, what they do, they think they're saving money, but after that boot, it's no longer working or it's broken. It no longer fits and it's just destroyed. They buy another boot. By the time it gets to 10 years, they've already spent a lot more, right, than the amount. Now, maybe I didn't do the math right, but the point that I'm trying to make is this. By the time it gets to 10 years, they've already spent a lot more than what they would have spent on one purchase of a good boot that would have lasted them a lot longer. It's a scarcity mindset. People that are freed from that poverty mindset and you're trusting in good stewardship, you understand, I'm not saying go spin and go crazy and go wild, but you understand also I'm going to be within my means and I'm going to make wise decisions. That's the whole point of that theory. You don't just spend your money and lose your investment. Don't do that. You follow me? Now you say, Pastor, what is the point in that? Well, the point that I was trying to make is this. I'd rather be committed to the one that can stretch my dollar. I'd rather be committed to the one that can salvage my marriage. I'd rather be committed to the one that can help me raise these kids than the world's mindset of doing marriage, than the world's mindset of raising children. No, it's not going to take a village to raise my kids. Sorry, I mean, I get it. I understand where that's coming from, but that's not normal. How did Adam and Eve do it without a village? I'm just saying, I mean. You know, we come up with these things to justify and try to find a way to, like, reroute God's training and teaching. But we're stuck on this world mindset, this world view. Well, I'm going to go the course of the world because this is how they do it. No, no, no. What does God teach you? What does God show you in his word on how to raise your kids? Do you really want to give a total stranger the decision to raise your child? And they might not have the same values that you have. Man, that kid's going to come out confused, sir. Ma'am, that child's going to come out confused. That's not the responsibility of the school to raise your child, right? Or the daycare, amen? Or the church. Right? Whose responsibility is it? Who? The parents. Plain and simple. Now, you say, Pastor, what is the point that you're trying to make? Here's the point. When your mindset changes, you understand, I'm going to commit to the vision that God has for me and my family. It might not look the same as, let's say, for this instance, the Rivera family. God has given them a vision for their family, but it might not look the same for, right, the Dykes' vision for their family. It might not look the same for the vision that the Smiths have for their family. You follow me? It's different in that sense because God is going to convict you. God is going to show you in His Word, right, how you should raise your children. Now, it doesn't justify, oh yeah, I'm going to raise them in sin. That's not what it's saying. Okay? It's not what I'm saying. But it is going to show you what path to take. It's going to align your thoughts when you stop thinking like the world and you're going to start thinking about how God wants you to do it. It's going to show you the path. The same way with money. Amen? Just because you have it doesn't mean you need to what? Spend it. Amen? You don't need to spend it. Have that buffer. For what? Emergencies. Amen? Right? That's how you need to start thinking. Don't let it get a hold of you. You get a hold of it. It's a tool. Right? Okay. Let me move on because I don't know if we're getting this. But look at it this way. When you build a home, what do you need to build a home besides the materials? What do you need? Okay, the labor, besides the labors and the materials, what do you need besides the money? Okay. A foundation before that. Before that. Blueprints. We were going to hit it. Amen. Y'all are all right. Amen. You're all right in different phases of it. Okay. You're all right. Amen. You got it all right. Correct. You all passed. But the blueprints is important. Why? It gives you the what? That's our blueprint. Man, I might have not gotten an A in school, Miss Deborah. Amen. I was a little, you know, slow. Amen. I might not got an A. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm trying to get an A in life. You understand that? What good is all the money in the world? Money doesn't make me happy. I've learned that. You know what makes me happy? My wife is next to me, the love of my wife. I love it. It makes me happy. My children are safe. We can relax together at the table, pray together. You say, Pastor, you're boring. No, I'm happy. You gotta understand, I came from chaos. I'm happy. I'm happy. Money has no hold on me in that aspect. So, praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah, I lucked out on a pastor that's not worried about money. But the truth of the matter is, what makes me happy is my family. It's my wife. It's the fact that I can provide for them. I've worked so hard to have what we have. Amen. It broke me. It did something to my health, but it was worth it. I don't regret it. What I'm trying to tell you is this. The Bible taught me and continues to teach me what path to take. The same with you. You have to understand this. In other words, you have to understand that to build, you're going to have to not see it first. You're going to have to trust. And there are some preparations that you and I have to take. Like, how many of you know the blueprint? Okay. How many of you heard the Big Bang Theory? Raise your hand. Can anybody just explain it real quick, what it is, please? Okay, okay. But explain it. That's one word. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. Brother Edmundo, do you think it would be crazy if one day we come, like, let's say next Sunday, and we come to church, and there here's a beautiful, brand-new, 10,000-square-foot building erected, new. And then I told you, Brother Edmundo, I just walked to our property. Guess what? When I walked up, here's this new building. I don't know how it happened. Why are you laughing, man? Why are you laughing? Tell me. Be honest. It's ridiculous. So why are we trying to raise our families, do marriage, do our finances without the blueprint? It doesn't happen by accident, right? Something that magnitude, thank you for saying that. Something so great, so important, by the way, so valuable. It takes time. We have to follow the instructions. Does that make sense? So if we want to build, folks, and I'm not talking about a building, man. I'm talking about life. I'm talking about a community. I'm talking about God-fearing people that have a purpose in their life. Praise the Lord, the Smiths. Pray for them. They put their house in the market. Amen. Help them pray for a home. You're trying to buy a home, right? They're trying to find a home. Guess where? Here. Well, listen. Pray for people like that. Why? Because they're trying to make a very important decision in their life. Right? And that's why we come to church, not to figure out people's business. No, to pray, to exhort. You know what that is? To not just reprove and tell them, hey, you're wrong. No, to challenge them and say, hey, you got this. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to go along the way with you. I've been praying for them, but it's going to take preparation. Right? We got to saturate that thing with prayer. First, we want the house to sell over there. Okay. You got to do it in the right way. Some of you are making decisions of your future. I think the Lockwoods, amen, they're trying to find a new job here in the Tyler area. You know where they drive from? Longview. Faithful people. Amen. Now, Brother Benjamin might not be as faithful, but Miss Amber, praise the Lord. Amen. She's faithful. Amen. But I'm joking. But we love Brother Benjamin. Amen. I just like picking on him. But they were there yesterday at opening ceremony all the way in Longview. What time were you there, brother? What time did Miss Amber wake you up? No, I'm joking. What time were you there? 6:30. Miss Deborah, I'm over there complaining about the weather. You too? Okay, all right. I feel safe, amen. I feel better now. I was complaining about the weather while here's a couple came all the way from Longview in that freezing cold temperature. Well, it was 50 or something, right? With the wind gusts, probably made it 30. I'm joking. But it was cold. He set up our tent. Miss Amber obviously helped him probably, but the table and everything was set up. Miss Lauren, when you got there, was it cold? It was cold, amen? But I'm trying to explain. They put in more effort than I did, and I appreciate that from them. But you know what that's called? Commitment. Praise the Lord for that. Brother Jeremiah made these wooden flags. People were coming because they're going to win it in a raffle. We'll do the raffle. But the whole goal is to try to reach our community. It's an outreach opportunity. Here's the truth. Do you really want God to bless our church? Please don't get mad at me, okay? Don't get mad at me. Where were you yesterday? No, I'm dodging the tomatoes. Where were you yesterday? I don't need to hear the excuses, amen? Where were you? But you follow me? Are you understanding? Before God builds something here, guess what we need to do? Participate. That's it. Now, you say, well, Pastor, I couldn't make it because, you know, I was doing this, I was doing that. I get it. But what I'm trying to explain to us is this. If we expect God to do his part, what do you think we should do? Do ours. Now, not everybody was doing something. That's what I'm trying to say. Let's be honest, right? Not everybody was busy. I understand if you're busy. I'm the kind of pastor, man. I'm chill, man. I get along. I don't mind. But what I am saying is you're part of the church. Some of us have things going on. I understand. But where were you yesterday? Now, that's going to answer how invested you are, right? If in your mind you're thinking, well, that's my only rest day and I need it, man, I'm not hating. Rest. I prefer for you to rest and get your stuff done for the week. I get it. I'd rather you be here in church today than yesterday at the ball field. Amen? I'm not against that. I'm trying to explain to us we need to be committed. If God has given us the blueprints on how to do this, as a church family, understand this. That verse, Brother Benjamin, do you know it? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Many times, and I taught on this already, but many times we think not forsaking the what? The gathering. But that's not what the Bible says, is it? Listen, Spanish was my first language, and I'm not even good at that. I'm probably better at my second language, English. But I understand assembling something is different than gathering just a bunch of stuff. We're not commanded to attend church. We're gathered to assemble. Avengers. No, I'm kidding. But we're gathered to assemble. What does that mean? We're attached one to another for a function. Can you imagine? How many of you ladies or gentlemen, how many of y'all order from Amazon? Raise your hand. I'm not going to judge here. Never mind, I will. Okay, sorry for tricking you. We all do, right? When you order from online, right? Sometimes it doesn't always come together. Sometimes if it says assembly required, what does that mean? As men, we don't look at instructions, amen? We just build it, amen? No, I'm kidding. What do we do? Come on now. You assemble it. What does that mean? You connect it. Right? Is that fair? If we don't, guess what we would have? A pile of what? Stuff that won't work for you. We're not a pile of believers that don't work for God. We don't just gather. When we gather, what do? We connect. There are some of you, the reason why y'all don't know that the Smiths are selling their property, maybe because we're not connecting. And maybe they need that prayer. The reason why some of you didn't know that Miss Sandra Moore is in hospice care is because we're not connecting. You see what I mean? There's a purpose. The reason why some of y'all don't know that Spencer's working at FD's and you're not giving him a hard time yet after 4 o'clock, 4:45, amen, after 4:45. The reason, 4:45, Brother Jay. After 4:45, the reason why we don't know to give him a hard time is because we're not connecting. Amen? The reason why some of us don't understand that Brother Will built a whole house by himself, amen, in Bullard, is because we're not connecting. Okay, I'm exaggerating, but amen. But Brother Will, you're the man. Yeah. But the reason why we don't know this is because we're not connecting. We come to church and sometimes we think, oh, it's just to attend. No, it's to connect, right? Many of us have lives. Many of us have things going on. The reason why we don't know Ms. Deborah's grandson, is in the hospital, what hospital he's in, because we're not connecting. Amen? Pastor, are you mad at us? No, I'm trying to encourage us. We're more than just people that attend. That's a concert. We're connectors. We're part of a body. We assemble. For what? To do what God told us to do. We're here not only to reach our community, but to help each other. Amen? It's okay if you want to give the pastor a gift card. No, I'm not doing that. Amen? But I'm trying to tell you, why is it that sometimes we can't be that blessing? Not to the pastor. I was kidding. You know who's one of the biggest blessings in my children's life? And I'm going to be done here. Because I know some of you, I could see food. The thoughts of food. And I'm trying to fight them off. You know who's one of the biggest blessings to my children? You're not even going to think of it. Brother Nickerson. Did y'all expect that? Yeah, I didn't think so. I love Brother Nickerson. One of my best friends. I know some of you, I don't like that, but he is. You know why? Because of my kids. He loves my kids. Every anniversary, every birthday, guess what they receive? Well, they don't have an anniversary. I have an anniversary. Guess what they receive? A happy birthday card. Not only that, with a little bit of Skrilla. Amen? With some funds, in case for those of you that don't know. I'm like, Brother Nickerson, you don't have to do that. He's been doing that since 2014. And you know what that tells me? I don't care what anybody says about how this old man feels. That's my boy right there. That's my friend. You know why? Because he's putting proof in that pudding. He's committed. Other people tell me. That's different. Some people show and display what they truly mean. You know what he's done over these 20, or I'm sorry, over these 11 years? He's connected with my family. I know there's many of you that connected with us. I'm not saying that. But there's a difference, is there not? There's a difference. When somebody says, hey, I love you, and then somebody shows you, hey, I love you. It might not be much, but I love you. Just that card. You follow me? And I want us to understand, church, we have to trust God, get into his blueprint, but we have to prepare now. What is God telling you right now that you need to prepare on? Bow your head, close your eyes. I don't know if God spoke to your heart, but I wanted to share with you, our future is built by what we do today. Not only that, are we consistent? Maybe God just wants you to ask for forgiveness of your sins. Some of you can't let go of a sin in your life. I don't know. Maybe God just wants you to be willing today, a willing participant of your home church. I don't know. But you know. I'm going to take this time. Do business with God. Amen. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Listen to this. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Some of you have sacrificed friendships to follow God. Some of us have sacrificed family members in our own family to follow God. Some of us have sacrificed relationships that we didn't need in our life to follow God. Here's my question to you. Why don't you commit more to Him? If you paid that price, why don't you commit to God? He has a future. He has a plan for your life. Why don't you commit to Him? He has something in store for you. Heavenly Father, thank you for today, Lord. Thank you that you give us a future that can only be built through you. You've given us the blueprints on how to pursue that future. But Lord, it really takes and requires trust. In other words, daily preparation on our part. Heavenly Father, we're believing in you and you're going to provide and you're going to help, Lord, restore things in our life and repair things in our life that, Lord, you promised. But Lord, it's going to take our part just to trust you and to prepare. Thank you for the families that are here. I truly believe everyone here has good intentions. Everyone here that's here under the sound of my voice, I truly believe they want to please you. I do. But Lord, I know it's going to take us just trusting you. And sometimes it's difficult. It is. It is. But Heavenly Father, thank you that nothing depends on us or what we do. It really just depends on you. And can we trust you that you will bring it to pass? Be with Victory Baptist Church. Be with our families. Put a hedge of protection about our families. Lord, thank you for the couples in our church and the children in our church, the families in our church. Lord, thank you. You've blessed our church so much, Lord. All we can say is thank you, and we give you the honor and the glory and the praise. Bring us back on Thursday night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Folks, thank you for being here. You are dismissed. Amen.